Thank you. I'm recording this so we can put it up on our website. My name is Cindy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm your speaker for today. And so the normal format of speaking is say what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I'm going to try and divvy that up three ways. What it was like. I grew up in what I thought was a normal family. You know, I think a lot of families have dysfunction, and mine definitely did. Not a lot. My father was an alcoholic, and my mom tried to, you know, be a good Al-Anon and not try to control too much. But was, you know, it was difficult. And I grew up, I was the youngest of five kids. And I grew up feeling the smallest, the youngest, the least appreciated, and the most sensitive for sure. I remember my mom telling me one time, "You're too sensitive." And I said, "No, I'm not." So I'm a sensitive kid. And I don't know, maybe around 7 or 8 years old, I couldn't tell you if something traumatic happened, but I found food to help me cope with anything that happened. And so I was skinny, a skinny little sickly kid before that. But after that, my food was my friend. I couldn't bring friends over to my house because my father was an alcoholic, and that was kind of embarrassing. And I didn't want anybody to know. And everybody in my family was like, "Don't tell anybody." So I learned that at a young age, to not tell anybody anything, not let anybody know what was really happening. These are things that I noticed after I came into OA, through going through the steps, that are some of my character defects. And since my father was an alcoholic, alcohol was not an option for me throughout my teenage years. He did stop drinking when I was 15. I didn't believe he was going to stay stopped, but he did. So that was good. So he belonged to AA since I was 15 until he died after 21 years of sobriety. So I went on all kinds of weight loss schemes, diets. My favorite was Nutrisystem. It didn't help. It didn't help with my head, but it was nice to, at the time, they had meetings once a week and there were other people and there was a support system. I really liked that part. I tried that one twice. I did other ones multiple times. My very first attempt at losing weight was my mom gave me her diet pills when I was about 12 years old. And that abruptly stopped because I rode my bike a couple of miles away down to the bowling alley, bowled with some friends, rode my bike back. This is in the middle of summer, so it was hot. Came home, my mom was cooking, it was hot in the kitchen. I thought it might be nice to help her. I'm on uppers, I'm zinging, I'm thinking I'm great. I pass out, hit my head. So that was the last that I had a diet pill. And my mom felt really bad. I tried a lot of that. And then when I turned 21, I did find alcohol. Completely forgot about my father and his drinking and all of the terribleness that occurred there. It didn't seem to me that I spent a lot, that I dove deep into it. I did binge drink. But I figured that's just what everybody did when they're 21. And then when I turned 40, I decided to get a gastric bypass surgery. That was 21 years ago. And it was great. I lost a lot of weight. I didn't have food as a crutch. But I do remember that I found alcohol. So I did find alcohol, and it didn't take me long, a couple of years, to hit my bottom drinking alcohol. And then after 3.5 years in AA, I found OA. A friend who was at the AA meeting said she was going to an OA meeting, and I went to it, and there was something different about OA. I thought AA was going to help me with that one character defect of overeating, but it didn't. And there were people at the OA meeting who said things like, you want to be free of your compulsion. And I thought, yeah, and I wonder why in 3.5 years my AA program didn't help with that. It didn't. And I really only had like 20 pounds to lose. But I was on my way up from, I had lost a lot of weight with the surgery. But I had gained a bunch back. I'd lost 120 pounds. I gained 60 pounds back. So surgery obviously wasn't going to do the whole thing. So I struggled at losing the weight. And so it was on that struggle. And after I found AA, and after I went to my first OA meeting, that maybe there's a way of not having to struggle so much. And it seemed like OA was it. So for the longest time, I could not figure out what the heck abstinence was. I started off with one sponsor, got sponsored pretty quick, maybe about a month after. I worked with her through step 5, and she had a relapse. So she was told she had to get rid of all her sponsees. So I found another sponsor. I think I might've stalked her a little bit, and because I think at first she said no, and then she said yes. But and so I've had that sponsor for 6 years, 5.5 years, 6 years. So finished the steps with that sponsor and continue to meet with that sponsor every week. At first I did meetings, 3-4 OA meetings, while I was doing 3 or 4 AA meetings. And I noticed that my OA program, I needed more help with food than I did with alcohol. So I spent more time in OA, and I still do. And I still think that I need more help in OA than I do in AA. If that changes, I still am in contact with my AA sponsor. And she always reminds me, if AA ever, if alcohol ever becomes a problem, whichever one's going to kill you first is that's the one you need to concentrate on. So concentrating on my OA program, because I know food is still a problem and I still need help with it. And I know it'll still kill me, even though alcohol may kill me faster. Food's going to kill me slowly and make me more miserable. So that's what it was like. That's what happened. And what it's like now is I get to go, because of COVID, because of Zoom, I get to go to all kinds of meetings and meet all kinds of other people and listen to their stories and hear their ideas of what abstinence is, of what alcoholic foods are, of what sober eating is. And I think the main part about listening to other people and getting other ideas from them is, you know, being open, open-mindedness, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Not a fan of honesty still, especially when it comes to food, because I spent, since I was 8 years old, lying about my food, hiding my food, sneaking food, stealing food. And so something that's been going on for that long in my life, I know needs some time to work on. And I pray to my higher power for humbly asking him to remove all my shortcomings. And I kind of see some of my food behaviors as my shortcomings. So honesty is a tough one, but open-mindedness, you know, especially if I go to a meeting and I think, oh, this is not a good meeting for me, or I don't like what they're saying. That's my red flag that says, just wait, you'll hear something, or it'll turn around, or maybe it's not the right thing, but let's stay here and be open-minded and willing to hear what maybe I don't think I want to hear, but my higher power might want me to hear. So I get to do that constantly. And I get to call my sponsor every week and tell her all the things that I found that I'm get to be open-minded with. And maybe some of the things, not maybe, usually, always, some of the things that I'm not open-minded with, or I'm not willing to do. And I only meet with my AA sponsor every 6 weeks. We started every week. When we got through the steps, we did every other week, and then we did once a month, and now we're doing once every 6 weeks. And I remember somebody in a meeting say, I remember when Cindy said that she only meets with her sponsor every 6 weeks. Like, wow, she must really be recovered. I thought, oh, that's funny. So, but I'm not that recovered in a way. I still have to meet with my sponsor once a week. I appreciate it, and I get a lot out of it. So I don't know when I will meet less with her, but I'm open-minded to it. I'm willing to see how that goes. So that's my story. I think I'll end up there. And I think if I pick a topic, a good one might be HOW, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Or anything else that you might all want to share about that. Okay, I'm gonna